I think what we'll do is open it up for sharing. Anybody that wants to come up, I'll grab a chair and shut up for a while and let you guys talk. That's all right. Service to OA.
How old is your
15. She's 15. I got abstinent when she was 4, and she's 15. Thank you. Yeah.
Right?
She's a gift to me, too. Absolutely. She was, this was like when Earl came out that my name is Earl. That was like 4 or 5 years ago. She said, that guy's just doing his 8th and 9th step, right there. So am I going to Denver or not?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I hope so.
Okay, I don't know.
I really hope so. We'll see.
First they said yes, then they said no. I don't know.
You know what? I'm not involved in it.
I'm going to sit down, shut up, and let you guys come up if you want to. Why don't I what? Pick the first person.
I don't think someone's going to ask. Oh. Or ask, ask for someone to move your first person.
Okay. Josh?
There we go.
What am I doing?
I don't know.
Is she asking?
Sure.
Yeah. You're doing something. I'm not quite sure what it is. You're sharing about something. I'm not sure what. Why you think the Bears are the best team in the NFL?
Oh, how about the Cubs?
My name's Josh. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Harlan, for sharing. I'm in Harlan's home group, or he's in my home group in Scottsdale, and just very thankful to find him to be a treasure of knowledge. Yes.
Do we want people to use the microphone?
They want to use it, it's fine.
Yeah, people in
that. Hello.
I don't have a booming enough voice.
Okay.
I don't even know what to share with. I'll just talk about service, since that was the last topic we just talked about. Working with others. I spent about 3.5 years in this program. I mean, I've been in program for 4.5 years. I have 3 years of abstinence, and the first 3.5 years in the program for me, for the most part, except for a small, short affair with honey. in the middle there, I've been abstinent the bulk of it, and I don't know quite how that happened, because I didn't really work out of the big book. I pretty much was told by work with my sponsors slowly but surely out of the 12 and 12s, and they said, yeah, go read that big book thing, and I didn't really pay attention to it. I didn't really know much about it, and didn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, people kept saying, that's where the program is, that's where the instructions are. And, you know, and I'm used to the instructions being like, you know, Roman numeral outline, bullet points, and there's only like one place in the entire book that has that, and that's where the fourth step where you have the columns. So it didn't really make much sense to me to say when people told me that was the instructions. And the instruction manual. And so, but I somehow remained abstinent. But when I came to Phoenix a year ago and met Harlan and met a few other people who worked their program by the big book, by the instructions in the big book, and it was like I started my program over from scratch. I just didn't know, you know, they were making all these references which I didn't really understand, but two, there was a whole different. I had a different sense of what compulsive overeating was, what the program was about. I can honestly say the first years of my program, it was much more of a diet and calories club for me. The focus was on not eating certain foods because, you know, sugar or bread, everyone should just not eat that. And that was true for me, And I thought simply not eating those foods meant that I was abstinent. And I'm getting to the service part. What I've learned, and what I learned by working the steps this year out of the Big Book and with the people and having a new perspective in this program is it's not abstaining from certain foods is not abstinence. It's not abstinence. This is the disease, and actually losing weight is not abstinence. Being a certain weight is not abstinence. You can gain weight and be abstinent. But my abstinence today is defined by whether or not I compulsively overeat. That's it. You know, I have certain foods that I can't eat anymore because I've abused them so much it's broken for me, you know. My sponsor likes to say, you know, once you're a pickle, you can't go back to being a cucumber. Once you're a compulsive overeater, you can't go back to being a regular eater. You know, and then that's true for certain, you know, certain foods. I've even heard Harlan say, I think I heard Harlan say, you know, once you squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube, you can't, it's kind of difficult to put it back in. So what I'm getting to the service part is, redefining my abstinence and redefining this program for me, and figuring all that out, I feel very lucky that I had abstinence, or what I'm calling abstinence, the first years of my program. Because in that time, I didn't do a lot of service. I came to meetings because I wanted to see what I could get out of the meetings. And I had a sponsor because I wanted that sponsor to give his time and attention to me as much as possible that's what I needed. That was the thing that I lacked most of my life was, you know, people hadn't given me enough attention. And that's why I was a compulsive overeater, and that's why I was fat, and that's why I was cursed, and that's why my life sucked, because I simply didn't have enough. People hadn't given me enough, I was cursed. And coming into the program and realizing I was still completely miserable, even though I had, you know, had 3 years of abstinence, and had been working my program, I hadn't been of service to anybody. I hadn't been giving it away. You know, occasionally I'd say to people, hey, you know, I can talk to you about OA, and then they'd call and I wouldn't pick up. And I was miserable, and I was still managing everything. And I still, today, want to manage everything, especially when I'm tired, especially when I'm annoyed, or I have too much to do, you know, what I determined to be too much to do, and I get completely self-obsessed. That's just me. I'm an egomaniac. Arrogant, self-righteous, ego, judgmental, egomaniac. And the only cure for that, and the only cure out of that is being of service. And taking people as sponsees, and for, as my sponsor likes to say, pigeons, you take them in, you teach them, they shit all over the place for a while. You teach them how to fly until they can carry the message on their own. Yesterday I was in my head about something. I wasn't feeling very good. I was tired. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't figure it out. I should take some medication, or I should go for a run, or food might fix this, right? Maybe I'm just hungry. And I had a number and a name in my phone from a couple of weeks ago, a newcomer who had come to a meeting, and I intended to call them. And I was just like, that's what I'm going to do. I called the newcomer, and sat on the phone for 20, 30 minutes, and they had no idea what the program was about, and they didn't understand the God thing. That was their big problem, the God thing, of course, which is everybody's problem, which was my problem. And just talk to them about it, it's just what Harlan was saying. My telling them about all the pain and all the hurt and speaking from the heart, not talking about God, preaching the gospel. It's not what I do. I don't know how to do that. I don't know the gospel. All I know is this program works and where I came from. And, I did that and I was higher than a kite. My headache was gone. I didn't feel like crap anymore. I was no longer thinking about myself and what I needed to fix about me, but simply being of service. This program actually tells me I don't have to take care of me. It doesn't say in the big book anywhere, take care of you first. It just says, be of service. And then God takes care of the rest. So, and because of that today, I do that and I pick up the phone and I'm of service to those, to the newcomer or to anybody else in these rooms. I put a little bit of buffer in between me and the food, me and compulsively overeating. And I'm not miserable. This year has been the happiest year of my life. And it's been probably the most tumultuous year of my life. I went from, having to move states to completely being out of work and in debt and starting a brand new job and breaking up out of a relationship and, many other things in addition to that. But because I learned to be of service from a place of debt, and what I mean by debt is energetic debt, I always thought, well, I can't be of service until I have enough. Until I feel good enough about myself, until I've lost the weight, until I have enough program, that's absolutely, completely false. That's actually when I'm supposed to be of service. When I feel like that, when I feel like there isn't enough, when I feel like I don't have enough time, when everyone else wants something from me, and I need to take care of myself, that's when I have to be of service, because that's when I will start to feel better. And it doesn't come until I do that. Because I don't actually get to make myself feel good. That's not up to me. It's not up to me. The only thing I'm responsible of is being of service. And then God takes care of the rest. That's it. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm still getting up here, but I'm going to do it anyways. My name is Mary, compulsive eater.
Hi,
I've been here the whole time. Harlan, thank you. You touched me. I was a fat kid at about 245 pounds. I've been in these rooms since 1989, and I've, gone the same, up and down. But the one thing I've done is keep coming back, which I'm grateful for that. And I've heard it before, I'm sounding cliche, but I always thought I could do it on my own, and I still try to. But this year, I went to a great retreat in Lake Tahoe in August, and it was awesome retreat. And you share about what I heard this weekend was helping the compulsive overeater, that sense of belonging. And I've been to many a retreat, many, all of them. But there was something magical about Lake Tahoe, and I felt a sense of belonging and a connection, and that really boosted my program. And finally I got a sponsor, and right now my weight is about 190, so my top weight, like I said, was 245 plus. And for me, I lie, I say I'm 5'1", but I'm really, 4'11". I act big, and my weight helped me act big. And I wear really bright colors, so that makes me bigger too. But one thing that I had a dream last night, and I want to get to this because this is, you helped me a lot. I have a lot of rage in me. I'm an incest survivor, fucked up childhood, all that fucking stuff. Excuse my language, but that's what it was. And last night I had a dream. And you talk about the eighth and ninth steps, all the steps, and I had this dream where I had this bat, and I was menacingly going to beat my brothers with it, because I have a lot of rage at my brothers. And I was like, I wanted to bat their brains out. I'm being really honest here. And I woke up, I'm like, oh my God, I had this dream. And it's a great thing to live with another compulsive overeater in program, or any person in program. And she's like, wow, why do you think you had that dream? And I said, wow, Harlan was talking about the rage and the anger. And, I think I felt it. I saw it. And because you were talking about your mom. And I have that same kind of anger that I got to work these steps to get over and not eat over and not throw myself over. And anyways, this is the greatest thing she said. Well, that's a great thing to write for your fourth step. You see, it's like, oh, sometimes I'm a little slow on the uptake. But, so I am up here to say thank you. It's been awesome. It's been like boot camp, big book, and I've been in these rooms, like I said, 1989, but you just shed a lot of light and kind of, again, boosted my program, so I thank you.
Yay! Whoever wants to come up, don't wait for me to call. You just come up.
Hi, I'm Joyce, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
I didn't really think I had anything to share, but I've got to share about this. Been in program 17 and a half years, been absent 11 and a half years. About 3 years ago, I was driving to a Region 2 assembly. I had in my purse a 3-disc set of the Joe and Charlie Big Book study. I'd had them in my purse for about 8 months. They'd been given to me, and I had conveniently forgot about them, ignored them, and said, but on the way, you know, the reception is bad in your car, you know. The radio wasn't playing the tunes that I wanted to hear. I didn't want to listen to those discs I already had, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I should listen to those tapes, that they're the discs that Kim gave me 8 months ago, 9 months ago. Maybe it's been a year. I don't know. Well, I listened to those discs. And then I listened again. I think I listened to him in the rest of the drive up and the drive back probably 4, 5, 6 times. Then I listened to them on my way to work, on my way to meeting, on my way to the grocery store, time and again and again and again and again. And I kept hearing new things in them. 3 little discs. And I kept hearing new things. I said, I need more. So I found online there's 10 disc sets. I bought a 10 disc set. It was the original Joe and Charlie again. Oh, there's one that's free. New Charlie, or new Joe, same Charlie. I listened to them. What I got out of them was such a big deal for me. It took all of the strain about being abstinent or sticking with my food plan and being abstinent. It took the strain out of it. Because it taught me what I had not heard in the previous, 8 years. The program is not designed to help me with my problem. It is to solve my problem for me. Then I don't have to worry about it. But what is so great, and this is where I'm heading this whole thing, is it took all those times of listening to the Joe and Charlie discs for me to get that eventually. And I heard it so clearly relating to my problem because you expressed my issues. You know, I had to relate everything from alcoholism, because I'm not, an alcoholic. Food was my drug of choice. But I had to translate it, and I'm not a good translator. I can't learn Spanish. So you translated the big book into my terms, and I just am so grateful for you for that, and so grateful that God gave you the message to give to me, and maybe I'll be able to give it to somebody else. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Rex. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
And I haven't spoken at this whole birthday party, so I figured I'd get up here and say something because it usually helps me. Thanks, Harlan, so much for going through the big book. I was deciding where should I go. Should I go over here? Over here? Over here? I go, well, I like the big book, and I got a lot out of, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, you led a retreat in San Diego. And since then, I've been in program for 13 years, top weight, 300 pounds, and currently just have like abstinence, like 3.5 years, a little bit over. And since that retreat, that was like my 1 year birthday up at that retreat. And I think my gift that my higher power gave me was the sponsee at my 1 year. And since then, I've had a few, some come and go, but now for me, it's a lot about doing service and working with others. When I'm in a real bad place, and it's like a Saturday, and I'm going to meet with a sponsee at 4 to go over step 3 or 4 or 5, I'm like, I don't really want to do this, you know, I don't want to be on a Saturday in a Starbucks. Deal. I wanted to go biking down at the bay, you know, or whatever, you know. But you know, that's the best. You know, the payment of that for me is so huge. I mean, like I can't even. I mean, I wouldn't. If I got $1,000 for an hour for that, it wouldn't be the same as so much I get from working with others in the program. And one time, I heard a long timer say that it's the sponsee's job to keep the sponsor abstinent. And I don't know, I like that, but I get like 3 calls every day about people and their food and stuff. And boy, it just helps me because I, you know, they remind me every day that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I hope I can help them out too. And so I'm grateful to have been here and been able to say hi to many people. And thanks again, partner.
Hi, I'm Nikki Kumpel-Peter.
Hi, Nikki.
Thank you. I've been abstinent. I just celebrated my 13th year of abstinence. But what you reminded me of today, Harlan, is, you know, it's easy for me to look like I'm recovered because I'm thin. And so I can fly low or high in and out of these rooms and look well. What Harlan reminded me of today was thin isn't well, which I really know because I've been thin a lot of my life, and crazy as a fruitcake, getting married and divorced and, you know, all kinds of crazy things. But what I do know is the only place that I've ever found a relationship with God was since I came into these rooms and really got abstinence. I came in 1980, and I got this abstinence in 96. So it's not like, you know, I've been around the block a few times, up and down. I've had more 30 days than you could count, you know, and all of that. But what I lose when I don't come to the meeting is my serenity. What I lose is my conscious contact with God. What I lose is the fellowship and the love that, for me, that manifests itself in these rooms. I actually have the wisdom to leave OA for 8 years. You know, I came back, I sat and cried because I realized I put myself out there where there is no love for me. I put there out there where nobody reminds me that I have a God who will help me with this stuff and that I have a gazillion people that I can call, because I know I could call anyone in this room tonight if I had your number. And you'd help me through that rough spot. If I said, this is Nikki, I'm a compulsive eater, and I don't think I can get through this minute without excess food. And I've made dozens and dozens of that particular call. Because I am a compulsive eater. And it's just, that's who I am. It was the hardest thing for me to remember. About 10 years ago, we went to the tax office, and I wanted to say that I had made donations. Would you believe? You said you lied just to keep from telling the truth, more or less. I've done that all my life. We were sitting at the tax office, and I told them that I was an alcoholic, and I had given this much money to AA this year. Because, you see, I could not admit that a Twinkie had me down on the floor, face down. It was so embarrassing to me because I judged myself so harshly for having this disease. Today I know I'm a compulsive overeater and reader. That's what I do best. And without this program, I'd be out there still nuts. I'm so grateful and I'm so glad you are here today. I love the big book. I've always thought it was the manual that I was looking for all my life, because I always thought you knew how to do your life. My brothers knew how to do their life. I didn't know how to do my life until I got in this room. Thank you for that.
Hi, I'm Scott, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Scott.
And today, you might have to help me. I'm going to try to show my problems how big God is.
Woo! That's awesome.
And I love what you had to say about the thinking, the will, and I'm a compulsive overthinker. I take medication for that, too. But it's a real joy to have a higher power today. And part of my recovery is in the mornings, I turn off the radio, I stop listening to the news, and I sing. And one of the songs that I sing is about my crazy compulsive thinking myself. It goes like this. It's a typical day in Scott's Head, USA, where typical thoughts do things in a typical way. First they overtake my mind, cause me grief, heartache, and kind. Then I spend all my energy sitting around believing lies, which leads me to say it's a typical day in Scott's Head, USA. So I'm 1 year young, and I'm free of binging on sugar for 1 year, and coming to this conference, I recognize my emotional recovery still needs, you know, some work. I just keep coming back, keep working the steps, keep calling my sponsor, keep moving forward, action. Thank you.
Puke all over myself. Thank you so much for your share. Someone can sing, I can speak. I'm just uncomfortable, and I want to cry, and I just saw my friend walk in the door. I'm going Danny Link, and I'm going Danny Link, and I'm starting in therapy this week, because I can finally admit to myself that I was raped 3 years ago, and it happened when I was younger too, and I got help for that, and I don't want to hide behind my body anymore. I don't want to hold on to the weight because I don't want to be hurt again, and I don't know most of you in this room, and like I'm shaking in my boots, if you could see them, but I'm home, and all weekend I've been here at the start, and I woke up, and I've taken a shower, and I've put on mascara, and I've dressed, and I don't wear sweats anymore, and I take care of myself, and I've got sponsees, and I'm insecure in that. because it's just not good enough. But I said when I came in here I would go to any length, and finally God has given me the clarity. And I don't want to live in fear, and I don't want to live behind this, like, shadow. And I'm terrified to go sit in a room and, like, have someone ask me about my rape. But I have to do it. And I think I owe it to, like, tell my parents. But my mom told me it was my fault when I was 13. And I told her when I was 15. It happened when I was 13. I told her at 15. I got in the car, and she handed me some food. She said, if you'd never left the house, it never would have happened. And I don't know why it feels really good to sit in here. Because it wasn't my fault, and, like, I have to, like, stop thinking that it was. Because I, like, have to heal the 13-year-old in me. And I have to heal the 20-year-old in me. And, like, and my life is so big today. I was flunking out of college 2 years ago when I came in. And so I've been in 2 years, and I've been here in 9 months. And out of college because I wasn't, you know, thin enough or pretty enough to go to school and smart enough, and now I have an amazing job because of my abstinence, and I get to be of service. I have 5 bosses who tell me what to do, and I just go, what's next? Like, what's my next? Like, what's my new project? Like, I'm just of service all day long. And so I guess I just want to say that if, like, I can face all the demons in my life like anyone can, and I want to live the life that, like, I was intended to live, and I am finally, and I owe this program, like, everything, and my higher power is incredible, and I'm ready to, like, heal the 20-year-old inside of me who was humiliated and hurt, and so this has been an amazing weekend, and thank you for letting me share, and now I feel calm. Thanks. Yeah.
At the, you gave a day retreat in San Diego, and I just had to come back and listen to you again because it was so great. I struggle with the purity of service, and by that I mean is that I can't do service because out of the goodness of my heart. I do service because I have to, and it stems from my isolation. I have a difficult time joining people. I have to push myself to join my people, to join people. I get easily rejected, and that's why I isolate, because I'm afraid of being rejected. And in OA, I feel that it's one place where I can be where, you know, I'm not rejected, but yet I still always have that fear, and that's what it is. It's just the fear of rejection. And doing service is very frightening and scary for me because it could, you know, bring that fear back that I'm doing it and people aren't going to appreciate it or people aren't going to give me what I need. And that's what I struggle for, is for the purity of giving service is not for what I get back, for what I give. And I can't get there. I don't know if any of you can identify with that. But I don't do it to give it to others. I do it because I need so much in return. And that's just a struggle that I deal with on a daily basis that keeps me from using the telephone. I don't use the telephone because I'm so afraid that I'm going to be rejected when someone picks, you know, and it's easy if someone says, oh, this is really a bad time, can I call you back? For me, it's a rejection. You know, it's just something that I struggle with. But I love the big book, and step 12 is where it's at, and I know that. And it's just something that I will continue to struggle with. you know, every day, and but hearing you talk about it really, really helps me realize I've got to get over that rejection and that fear and to go out of myself to do it. Thank you.
I'm Ingrid, compulsive overeater in Berlin.
Hi,
thank you so much, Harlan, for your share. I really appreciate it. And one of the things that stuck out for me is when you talked about the 90 to 120 days of not doing the action that leads to the relapse. And, you know, thankfully, I've been coming to OA since 99. I have 8 years of abstinence. And thank you. And because of this program, life got really good. You know, I have 2 kids, I have a wonderful, loving husband, I have a great job. I mean, there's just so many blessings in my life. And before coming to this program, I thought that I would have none of that. I was in a place of self-hatred. I could not stand the way that I looked. I was very uncomfortable in my body. I isolated. I would do anything to not be around people because I was so full of myself, self-centered, that I thought all of you were judging me, and I just didn't want to be around people. So lately, I stopped taking the actions that I needed to take. I stopped going to as many meetings. I wasn't making my daily outreach calls like I'm supposed to. I skip a call here and there with my sponsor, and that does not work. It just doesn't. And I heard the message that I needed to hear today because I was on my way to relapse. You know, it was going to happen, and I know I don't have another abstinence in me. I don't have it. I think if I were to leave this room, I would be out for a very long time, and I would just, I don't want to go back to that place. So I'm really grateful to be here. The other thing, you talk about burning bushes and signs of God, and, you know, I have signs, and it's funny that I ignored them. I got to share this story. When my kids were younger, and I was in abstinence, but I was still allowed to have sugar. Okay, I was abstaining from bulimia, but I was still having sugar. And I would sneak cookies in my own house. Why I was sneaking in my own house, I don't know. But just that creeping into the cabinet, and then I would grab, you know, cookies and put them in a bowl. And they were these alphabet cookies. And I reached in, and 2 letters were stuck together that said OA. And it was like, no, this cannot be. This cannot be. And I ate them. So how about being stubborn? You know, I didn't need another sign from God. And, you know, my will is, I'm just a very stubborn person. And months later, I did the same thing again and pulled out OA from a different batch of cookies. I did not need another sign from my higher power that the cookies were not for me. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
I'm Mary Ted, a compulsive eater.
Hi, Mary Ted.
Harlan, thank you. I'm just feeling really emotional right now. I'm not eating, which is probably why I'm feeling emotional. I have 16 years of abstinence from bulimia, 15 from bulimia, and 8 years of compulsive eating from sugar when I realized and got honest with myself that sugar is my alcoholic food. Really clear on that through many, like I tried to be able to eat all things more moderately, but my truth was I had an allergic reaction with sugar. It's my alcohol. And anyway, thing about being of service, I feel like a miracle of the program because of OA and through working, you know, just the whole journey. It's been a huge journey. And for today, in large part, food doesn't call me, and that's a miracle a miracle. And my life has gotten bigger, and as my life gets bigger, my fear gets bigger. And as some of my, like, aspirations that I wanted to do when I was so distracted with food, and, well, now I'm, moving into other things, but then the fear comes back. And thankfully, I'm not picking up the food, but I'm picking up other distractions. Like, my latest is the computer to go on the internet. I mean, it's insane what I will do. But I just really heard, this program led me to some other programs, and every program there's gems, and I'm grateful for them. And but I was getting away from my OA programs, and it was actually doing service through the OA play that got me back into some meetings, because I was going to recruit a crew. And so, but I stood through the meeting, and so I'm really grateful for that. And then I was so exhausted. This birthday party has saved my butt in many years. I remember just early on in of my early on years, like my second or third year in program, just struggling. I would just be, binging and just be so demoralized, that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And I would somehow get myself to the birthday party. And I just remember by the end of that weekend feeling like I'd been given the major dose of, like, recovery. And it just saved my butt. And that's why I love to keep participating in the birthday party and be a part of it. And but this year, just, I was so exhausted yesterday. I mean, anyway, this is like the first session that I really got into, and I'm really grateful. It's just, I just needed to hear it. And it just really, because I know that when I don't talk, when I don't pitch, when I do isolate, it just continues to eat me up inside, and so I'm just really grateful for this opportunity to just, like, just say, you guys, I'm afraid of life. I don't know how to do big life. I still struggle with discipline. We alcoholics, we compulsive eaters are undisciplined people, and I'm like, yes, it's me. And anyway, so I'm grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Compulsive overeater.
Hi, Karen.
This month, Mike, Mickey, hi, everybody. I'm so grateful, all of you guys. I came into the program 33 years ago this month. My top weight was 270, I guess. I came in at 235. I heard somebody say yesterday, this is the only place where you can get applause for the higher weight you were. For some reason, I was really high for part of the day yesterday, and then I just sort of plummeted into a depression, and all I wanted to do was go to the gift shop and get a muffin or something. And thank God I didn't. And I'm rooming with my very best friend, and I mean, she wouldn't care, but it was just. And then this morning, I woke up early and came down here, and listening to Harlan finish up and listening to all the pitches, it's just totally different. And Mary Pat, thank you for saying, wanting to be part of, and, and talk about the discipline, and thank you for the show. And I have never done anything for more than a week in my whole entire life. And so to say 33 years, I have never, ever left this program. There are times when I didn't come as often. And I don't like how much I weigh right now, and I weigh quite a bit more than I really kind of thought it was. Anyway, part of it is because I can't move much. I'm having my hip replaced next Friday, and 6 months ago I had scheduled it for January 15th. Because that was the doctor's first appointment. And about 2 months after that, I wrote, oh, no, it's a birthday party. So gratefully, whoever was going to have it on the 22nd had canceled 10 minutes before I called to see if I could change it. So I'm I'm hoping, I know that it'll help just to be able to walk down a flight of stairs. But I also know that part of the way is because of what I've chosen to eat, too. So it's not going to be a miracle. I'm not going to get a new hip. And like a friend of mine who says now after his new hip, he's going to do 90 minutes of cardio. I will never do 90 minutes of cardio. But I have hope. I just love this program. It's been my gift. I was lucky enough to work with two different alcoholics who the first one that understood that I was in pain, even though I always laughed and was the center of the, you know, whatever. And the second one, who for 2 years we worked together every day. And after 30 days of working together, he says, I have to tell you something about me. I'm an alcoholic, and I've been clean and sober for 2 years. And I had daily meetings with him, not knowing that that's what they were. And so I heard all, you know, a lot of the slogans and a lot of the stuff, and I just thought he was the most brilliant man on the earth. And now I just know it's like what he's learned here. And so he's still in his program, I'm still in my program, and you guys are all here, and I love you all. Thanks.
Unfortunately, walked in late this morning and didn't get to hear your wisdom, or nuggets of wisdom for Sunday, but I got a lot yesterday. I don't know if you saw me, but I was back there just crying my eyes out yesterday. And I'm going to try not to cry my eyes out right now. But I just think I'm so thankful, as I'm sure everyone in the room is, that your higher power has led you here as a gift to us through our higher powers. So thank you. I don't know what I want to talk about, but I know that I've been instructed to talk at every meeting that I go to, and I didn't know this was going to be a sharing type meeting, so crap. But I'm here, and first of all, I've been in the program 9 months, so I'm very new, and this is a huge jolt of recovery for me as well, and I'm very grateful to be here this weekend. I have been abstinent 6 months, and I've lost 53 pounds. I don't know where they went. They're just gone. I lost them. And I get tripped up sometimes on progress, not perfection, because I want to do it right. I only want to take, you know, 1 6-month trip. I never want to relapse, you know. I'm going to do this right the first time. I'm going to do the steps right the first time and get them done and move on and graduate and get a degree. And, but I know that I'm starting to learn that I have opinions. I don't know if that this doesn't make sense, but I would never know how I felt. I would ask everyone in the room and get everyone's opinion, and then I would kind of figure out what I feel like. Okay, I'm going to go with this group of people. And this program, that's been really the hardest part and the biggest blessing about this program, that I get to decide for myself what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And when I hear so many people say that they have a no-sugar abstinence, then my disease starts to go, oh yeah, you suck. You didn't give up sugar. You're doing it wrong. You're wrong. And I have to remind myself that right now I can accept where I am. And where I am is that I eat sugar. I've lost 53 pounds. I feel like I'm okay. And I know that tomorrow I may have to give up sugar. I may have to decide, my higher power may tell me tomorrow that sugar is an alcoholic food for me, but I don't want to give that up today. And I'm being very defiant and willing, but at the same time, I know that I'm not ready for that, and that may come up and it may not, but I can decide, and we can all decide, what works for us through our higher powers, and this is our program, individual program, and as hard as that is for me, because I want to do it right, and I want you to like me, and I want my sponsor to pat me on the head, give me a blue star, blue ribbon, gold star, whatever. Blue star, it's even better. But right now, for today, God has me here for a reason. My higher power has me here for a reason, and I'm so thankful that you're all here, too, because I'm learning a lot, and I'm getting to see how I feel through it. So thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Calvin, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I can't see some of my friends I bumped and grind with. How are y'all doing? I've been in the program since April of 2007, and this is actually my third time. My father brought me as a teenager, and we only had the Blue Book. It was 1973-74, and he was a big doctor, big fancy, and I mean big. I don't mean a big guy. I mean, I don't mean a big fancy doctor, big guy. And he'd moved to Fresno, California, and he was telling all his patients, "Now listen, you gotta sit down, you gotta diet, and all that kind of stuff." And then we showed up at a church, and sitting in the front row, and oh, you know, Mitch, you're such a good guy to bring her in, and you know, and then he'd be like, "Look, Schnuckums, we got a diet, and let's be really good." And I go, "Okay, Daddy, all right." And then he'd go, "Baby, let's go get some 31 flavors." And I'm like, "What?" So anyway, that was my first time in. So I guess he's my Eskimo, and I'll skip ahead. Then 21, I go, "Yeah, I'm doing the Dr. A," which was our last name, Dr. Atkins diet. And I got all skinny and thin and thought I was all that. And because he would always tell me, "If you lose weight, I'll give you money to go do this or that." Because my parents were divorced and we were living on our own, scrimping and saving and trying to make it in the world. Anywho, then I had a horrible car accident. Ended up living in a hospital bed at 350 pounds. Yeah, kids, life happened because I thought I was too cool for OA. And the 12 and 12, and I had a book when I was 21. I highlighted it in purple and threw it in some kind of library bookshelf. That thing came falling out at me when I finally got back into my own bed after 15 months in a hospital bed. And in my mother's home, she nursed me. I think it was God that made it fall out of there at me. And I said, "Wow." Well, I read the whole thing, cover to cover, and I said, "I need this," because I couldn't quit eating and overeating. And it was Easter time, and that stuff goes on sale, half off. And it was in my trunk, it was in my closet, it was in all my fancy crystalware all over the house. So I made a phone call to the 411 operator. I said, "Hi, I need the number for OA." And she said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "I can't quit eating chocolate." She goes, "Me too." So she gave me the number, and that's when I came in April. I like to say I've given away weight. I don't say I lost anything, because if you lose it, you can find it. Because I don't want to find it again. I have given away 42 with a nutritionist prior to. I've given away about 70, but I found some. So when I found that book, I knew I'd be seeing an internist, because my blood pressure was out of control, my weight was out of control, and I couldn't do it anymore, because I was smart, too damn smart for my own good. So I asked my internist that day that I saw her, "Can I have a prescription to see a nutritionist, and I'm going to OA on Saturday?" She goes, "Good, that's really good." And I said, "Great." "What else do you want? What else do you want? What can I help you with?" Well, every time I see her, she goes, "I can't believe what you're doing. This is so great." So I bring her communicators, and every doctor I see, my nutritionist, so I'm doing service in that sense. And my first meeting, you know, I was just looking at everybody again, and I'm like, you know, these aren't such old ladies anymore. And they're really, really smart people. And this is like the same meeting I went to, and I live in Huntington Beach, California, and that's where I grew up. And, you know, I'm more than blonde and blue-eyed. I'm wearing contacts. I do not lie. I'm very, very truthful. And I'm a lot of fun. I'm really crazy. Crazy fun. I'm 350 pounds, you know, and full of fun. I've traveled the world. I went on a cruise ship after I became a nurse. I went to nursing school. I was supposed to be a doctor, by the way. I never made it. My dad's like, you're going to med school? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how? I'm like, on my own. He's like, wow. So anyway, you know, that's fourth step work, by the way. And what I want to say is a thank you to you, Harlan, because I found you on the Speakers Bureau. And I spent like a whole day actually listening to all of it. And I rearranged like drawers, and was just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that, I was like, I could not get my fourth step kicking into gear, and I did it. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it just made a lot of sense to me, so I want to give my appreciation to you in person. And when I saw your name badge, I should have came up to you the first night and told you that. And so I get to say it to you today. So that's why I wanted to come up here. So I'll finish my little quick story here. But it was April. I started. I couldn't agree that there was a higher power. Couldn't call him G-O-D. Because I was really mad at a lot of things. I was angry. And I was mostly angry at myself, and I figured that out. Well, when I finally figured out what abstinence and a meal plan was, it took me 4 months in the program, and some people told me what that was, because that's what people in fellowship were about in meetings. So that started working for me, and, you know, kind of figuring all this vocabulary, that was the hardest thing. And I didn't speak right, and I just kind of did a lot of complaining in meetings and stuff, talking a lot about nothing. So anyway, I've given away 172 total. So it's not about the weight completely, and it's like you can see our progress on our bodies, but you can't see it in our minds. And somebody told me, you're not angry anymore. You're a really different person. It'll be 3 years for me. And I started doing a different program in February. So my complete and total with sugar and flour is this February. And I started doing a HOW program, and down in Orange County, we have the OC, I'm living in the OC. We have 3 meetings that are the Orange County HOW, and it's just a tiny bit different than the HOW.
Oh my God.
So anyway, I'm going to start a meeting, and another gal starting a meeting, so we're starting to go a little bit, and it's not so frightening, because I started to eat 3 meals, October, you know, a year and a half ago, and so that works, it's working for us, so we just want to, you know, it's OA, and it's OA HOW, our meetings, and we start a women's dad meeting, and we want to bring the guys on board, so that's why I'm starting a meeting in Fountain Valley with our RNs. So that's what we're up to, and being able to listen and see people that you hear online and coming to these type of things just helps us grow, and then going back and sharing with each other what we've heard, and to be able to hear it again on CDs, etc., and to hear the big book and share what Harlan had to say is incredible. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Thank you.
One more, and then we're going to wrap it up.
One more.
Okay.
Good morning, family. My name is Hank, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Harlan,
as always, it's good to see you. Harlan and I went to meetings together when I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona. And we talked. There's a lot of talk about higher power, and I want to relate a story. I'm in my 22nd year. I came in 1988 at over 400 pounds. And I got a sponsor after a couple of months, and we started working the program, and I came in November 30th, 1988, and in 1 year I lost 160 pounds, and I started calling my sponsor, wasn't emailing then, and I called him on Thanksgiving morning 1989 and told him what I was going to eat, and when we started working together, he and I agreed that I could eat anything that Weight Watchers said I could eat, because before OA I had been, quote, a successful, unquote, Weight Watcher member. I was even a lecturer at the time. So I called him with my plan, and one of the things I said I was going to eat was a slice of pumpkin pie. And he said, you can't have it. And I said, yes, I can. We agreed that I could eat whatever Weight Watchers said I could have, and it's an exchange. And I'm giving it, it's not impulsive, it's not compulsive. I'm letting you know before. And we argued for about 5 to 10 minutes, as I recall. And this is the point of the story, because if people are struggling with a higher power, what he said to me was, okay, Hank, you can have it. But before you eat it, you have to get down on your knees and pray to it, because it's your higher power. You didn't hear me? Okay. He said, get on your knees and pray to it, because the piece of pumpkin pie is your higher power. So when people talk about having difficulty believing in a higher power, my answer is, you already have a higher power. Anything I'm addicted to, anything we're addicted to, is my higher power. We're just asking you to transfer it to a higher power that's beneficent and beneficial, as opposed to one that, you know, is going to do that for you. So I didn't have the pumpkin pie that day. You know, I had something else that was okay. And I've been doing this program imperfectly. The only thing I keep doing perfectly is I keep coming back, I keep doing service, and I keep having people like Harlan and Rob in my life, and the other Rob in my life, and Mike in my life. And, you know, I've lived in several cities in my recovery, and I'm just grateful to be here. And I hope that all of you who saw the play enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Okay, we're going to break up, and thank you for having me. But I think there's some closing ceremony stuff that you could stick around for. And for now, we'll just do fellowship or whatever. But thank you.
Thank you.